It's Wednesday, September 20th, and you're listening to Wing TV. I'm Victor Thorne, flying solo today. Lisa Giuliani's a bit under the weather, not feeling real well today, so we hope she gets better. If not by tomorrow, she'll certainly be back on Friday when we do a review of Aaron Russo's film, Freedom to Fascism. Now, we were supposed to have Aaron Russo on the other day, but he canceled out due to a medical procedure. We also asked someone else from his staff to join us. We're not sure, but it sounds like on Friday what we're going to do is review the full-length version of his movie, Freedom to Fascism, so we're looking forward to that. And as I said, you're listening to Wing TV, one of the few places in the alternative media where you're getting major league news that isn't afraid to hit the nail on the head instead of dancing around the corners and skirting the issues like so many others do. Now, to start the show off today, we'd like to thank Miss Loretta Medalia. She sent us an entire box, a full box of activist-related material. This is pens, bumper stickers, notepads, DVDs, and so forth. And what we're going to do is put these in every order we receive here at Wing TV. So I'm not sure exactly what's going to go and what. It all depends on while supplies last. But every order that goes out now is going to get some material from these activist kits that she spoke about when she was on our show a few months ago. Also, today in the American Free Press, the latest issue, the headline reads, AFP conference sets record. 2006 confab was biggest ever. Attendees want more meetings. And what they go on to say, that over 350 people attended this conference. It was standing room only for every single speaker. They actually had to turn people away who wanted tickets because they simply didn't have enough room. We were very, very proud to have been a part of this. We got to meet a lot of great people there. And most certainly, the American Free Press deserves credit for doing a wonderful job at this. Now, we got a lot to cover today, and I mean a lot. First and foremost, gasoline prices. I'm sure everybody has noticed they've been dropping like a rock. Around here, they went from $2.99 a gallon to right now $2.33 a gallon, and it's incredible how fast it's dropped. Now, what this shows is that the price of gasoline has absolutely nothing to do with supply, because over the last 4 or 5 weeks, there have been no dramatic incidents in the world, nothing where supply is either increased or decreased. This is simply being done right now because there's conveniently a midterm election coming up in November where it looks like the Democrats might take at least the House and maybe the Senate away from the GOP. Maybe the big wig GOP oil men are bringing the price of gasoline down to salvage a few seats in these midterm elections. But don't hold your breath, because as soon as this election's over, start looking for those prices to go the other direction yet again, just like they did after Katrina and just like they did so many times for apparently no reason. All the peak oil fanatics that want to keep scaring you into thinking that we're running out of oil and that's why the price of gasoline is so high, they're full of it. They're simply full of it. They're pulling your leg. They're giving you disinformation, because this has nothing whatsoever to do with supply, or, for that matter, demand, because there hasn't been a significant increase or decrease in demand over the last 4 or 5 weeks either. It's all at the mercy of big oil, and they have us under their thumbs because they know we need to drive our cars and we need to heat our houses, not to mention all the products that are made from petroleum-based products. So it's a shame that we're stuck in this kind of position, but as we've said many times in the show, nobody has given us any viable alternatives to get away from these fossil fuels or supposed fossil fuels. Another thing we have to talk about is the United Nations. Now, yesterday, President George Bush of the United Nations, or of the United States, addressed the United Nations. Shortly thereafter, the president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, addressed the United Nations. Now, there was talk that these two, there was a possibility that they could have met at an event after both of their speeches. This never came about, and you have to consider that here are these two combatants, these two supposed foes, and there's a lot of debate whether one or both of them are for real. We know George Bush isn't for real, and there's a lot of people that say Ahmadinejad isn't for real. But here they are, both in New York City, both in the same building, and they don't get together and meet and talk. Are these our great world leaders that are supposed to be carrying us into the 21st century? They can't even sit down and meet and discuss what's going on. Now, who knows if they met behind the scenes or if their handlers met behind the scenes to plot the next step of the script. Who knows? But today, Venezuela's Hugo Chavez addressed the United Nations. And even though I didn't hear his address yet, from the reports I heard on the radio, he supposedly called George Bush El Diablo, the devil, and said that it still smelled like sulfur in the United Nations since his appearance yesterday. So this is going to do nothing but add more fuel to the fire, more of the fiery rhetoric that's so indicative of the way our world leaders behave themselves and carry themselves. And it's a shame. It really is a shame that we can't move beyond what's happening right now. And all indicators are that by the end of this month or so, Iran's going to run out of time. The edicts that have been leveled against them by the United States, the United Nations, England, and so forth, if they don't stop development of their uranium, then the next phase of penalties is going to be thrust upon them. It doesn't seem like Ahmadinejad is too concerned with this. From all the footage we saw yesterday, he walked into the United Nations smiling, laughing, in a cheerful mood, addressed the United Nations, kept the rhetoric at a minimum yesterday, but who knows what's going to happen from here. But I would suggest everybody put their seatbelts on, because it looks like this isn't going away anytime soon. Now, let's get... One more thing, and then I want to get into some alternative media news. The last thing we have to take a look at is the Pope. This loser Pope Benedict, who couldn't leave well enough alone by having all the rest of the world leaders get involved in this clash of civilizations, as Samuel P. Huntington termed it. Now, the Catholic Church, the Vatican, the Pope has to get into it too. And he made reference in a speech last weekend referring to some 11th century or 14th century emperor who had some naughty things to say about Muhammad. Of course, the entire Muslim world now is enraged, and it just adds more fuel to this fire. It ratchets up the rhetoric. And so instead of simply having this be a political issue, of course, Pope Benedict, the loser, had to bring religion into it, which, of course, it is not only a political but a religious matter. And it's amazing that we're stuck with the world leaders that we're stuck with. It's completely amazing. Now, I posted an article yesterday, speaking of losers, on the Wing TV homepage, and it was written by a guy named Matthew Rothschild for The Progressive. Now, notice the last name, Rothschild, Matthew Rothschild, and he does some commentary for PBS. Of course, he's one of the big Libby Livers, and I posted an article about him last week, too, where he's taken pot shots at 9/11 researchers. Well, this article is called Enough of the 9/11 Conspiracy Theories Already. And yet again, a reflection of how really the whole left is they refuse to take seriously. They refuse to push forward. They refuse to allow their followers to seriously look at all of the anomalies revolving around 9/11. And he starts off in his snide remarks and lists some of our crazy theories that we've come up with over the past 5 years. And then he says, I'm amazed at how many people give credence to these theories. Everyone's an engineer. People who never took one college science course can now hold forth at great length on how the buildings at the World Trade Center could not have collapsed in the way that the government says they did. Well, Matthew Rothschild, I want to stress that last name. I'm not a physics professor, but I did enough research on 9/11. It's all contained in 9/11 on Trial to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that the World Trade Centers came down via a controlled demolition. Now we have Stephen Jones. We have the scholars for 9/11 Truth. We have so many other independent researchers who from day one laid the groundwork so that the newest newcomers to this movement could build upon their work. And you don't need to take one of your snidely referred to college physics courses. All you need is a little bit of common sense. All you need is a little bit of initiative to go out and study this information. I'm not going to say any more about it. Matthew Rothschild, the progressive, a reflection of how pathetic the Libby Libs are, how the left is still carrying water for George W. Bush, for the Republican Party, for the neocons. It's pitiful, and just, it's unbelievable. Now, what we're going to do, what I'm going to do today, I'm so used to saying we, as if Lisa's sitting here beside me, is go over a few news articles in the alternative media. And one of them, one of the big ones, it's something that happened last week. Daryl Bradford Smith came out with an article, or should I say, his secretary, Eric Huffschmidt, came out with an article that was critical of, yet again, the American Free Press, Michael Collins Piper. It was critical of not only the books that Piper has written and is writing, but also some of the books that I've written. Now, the thing that I found very ironic was how many books has Daryl Bradford Smith written in his life? How many magazines has he appeared in his life? How many newspapers have carried his articles? Has he been around for 20 plus years like Michael Collins Piper? Does he have 15 published books under his name like I do? Well, the answer to all of them is no, no, no. This guy is so inept, so lame, that he can't even piss his own name in the snow. He can't even write the articles for his own website. He has to get his girl Friday, Eric Huffschmidt, to write his articles for him. Yet, Daryl Bradford Smith comes out and criticizes Michael Collins Piper and myself and the books that we've written. Now, that'd be like someone standing on their roof that wants to fly into orbit. And he makes fun of the space shuttle. Okay, this guy, if he wants to try to fly, he jumps off his roof and lands flat on his ass. Yet when he gets up, he points at the space shuttle and starts criticizing it. That's exactly what Daryl Bradford Smith is doing. This guy can't write a damn thing by himself. Nothing. He needs Eric Huffschmidt to do his dirty work for him. And yet he criticizes us. Think about that. And on top of that, before I forget, not only is he a hypocrite for these criticisms, but when we invited him onto our show to discuss his lies, and when Michael Collins Piper invited him onto his show to discuss his lies, guess what Daryl Bradford Smith does, like he's done since day one? He runs in the corner, puts his tail between his legs, and hides like a coward. It's real easy, like Piper says, to sit there in his little hovel in France behind his little baby microphone and spew all this venom. Yet when he's called on the carpet, he runs for cover. He doesn't show his face. At least Eric Hufschmidt, as pathetic as he sounds in all his interviews where he's shrieking like a hysterical woman, at least Eric has the balls to face up to an interview and go in and do it, go into the lion's cage. Likewise, when I was asked to debate Christopher Bolin, I didn't run and hide like a little baby. What I did was I stepped up to the plate, and we had one hell of a good debate, me and Bolin, moderated by Mike Piper. Yet, Daryl Bradford Smith, he won't face up to Stat Miller. He won't face up to any of these guys. He hides there in France. And if you want to follow a coward, then feel free, but we're not going to. Now, another thing, Eustace Mullins. He appeared on Daryl's show last year. Some people were letting him off the hook. He had some very horrible things to say. We're not letting him off the hook that easy. Everyone says, oh, he's old, he's crazy, he's senile, he just wants some attention. Well, nothing wrong with wanting some attention. But if you're going to do it, don't slam people that rolled the red carpet out for you, namely the American Free Press. They treated this guy like a freaking rock star down in Washington, D.C., and he's making all kind of attacks against the AFP. Inexcusable, uncalled for, and guess who the little worm behind it all was? Again, Daryl Bradford Smith, with all these leading questions, trying to put words in his mouth, lead him in certain directions. Amazing. Just amazing that anybody tunes in to this crap anymore. George Clooney. I've been saying now for a couple years, even before George Clooney did anything political, I told Lisa, I says, you watch this guy. He's going to try to be the next Ronald Reagan and get into politics. Well, Clooney started making appearances at these lefty-left functions. Then he came out with his movie Syriana. Now, within the last week or so, he appeared before the UN. He appeared before Congress talking about Darfur. And George Clooney is the next Ronald Reagan. He's going to run as a Democrat. Who knows when he's going to do it, but this guy is most certainly throwing his hat into the ring. He also did that that movie about Edward R. Murrow, the head of CBS, and he's becoming more and more political in his films. So he's someone to keep an eye on in ensuing years. Also, George Noory. We appeared on his Coast to Coast AM show last Monday. Talked about Israel's central role in the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And as we said last week, George is a man of his word. He promised to have us on his show, and he did. On the other hand, George is still pushing the whole the 19 Arab terrorists and Al-Qaeda and so forth, who he's hooked up now with, of all people, is Glenn Beck. He was on Glenn Beck's TV show last night. He was on Glenn Beck's radio show today. And, of course, yesterday George released his new book. Maybe it's his first book. And it's called, I think, something like A Worker in the Light. And it tells about how he came to Coast AM, his lifetime interest in the paranormal and so forth. So I understand that he's pushing his book. But on the same, one thing he did say on the radio show today was that he did believe there was a shadow government. Now, Glenn Beck has the third most listened to radio show in the country. And for George Noory to come on and say he believes there is a shadow government is most certainly a step in the right direction. But when you're saying also, when you're still talking about the 19 terrorist and pushing the government's official story, that's where I have a bone to pick with George. And you know, it's kind of like I run hot and cold with him. Is he does some good work, but then on the other hand, is he just playing good cop to Art Bell's bad cop? I don't know. But, you know, he could, if he would just shy away from pushing his government story, I would have much less negative to say about him. Now, what else do we got here? Well, I got a call yesterday from one of Mike Rupert's former insiders. And as we've said on this show many times, is Mike Rupert must be the most hated employer ever in the history of the world, at least in the alternative media. And we've received reports from so many different people that used to work for him, every one of them invariably filled with hatred for this man. Well, as everybody knows by now, Mike Rupert's no longer in the country. By all reports, he's in Venezuela. He had to flee the country. And the reason why is that he put out one of his big sob stories over the summer, saying that his offices at From the Wilderness up in Ashland, Oregon, had got broken into by some meth addicts. Now, we talked about this on this show before, said how bogus it was. Also, Dave McGowan wrote an excellent article mocking this whole pie-in-the-sky story that Mike Rupert told. Well, from our sources, it seems like when Mike called the Ashland PD to report this break-in, they came over to his offices, and they started interviewing some of Mike's employees. Well, it seems like from day one, guess who the number one suspect was? It wasn't the meth addicts. It wasn't Big Brother. It wasn't the government. It wasn't former employees. Suspect number one from day one was Mike Rupert. One of the people interviewed by the police said that for an entire hour when they interviewed him, they didn't ask where he was during the break-in. They didn't ask for an alibi. They didn't ask for any of these other things. They spent almost the entire hour asking questions about one person, Mike Rupert. Already, from day one, the suspicions were very high. Well, we just learned that the Ashland PD came in and started giving lie detector tests to some of the current and former employees of From the Wilderness who worked for Mike Rupert. Seemingly, all of them passed with flying colors. Then they were going to give a lie detector test to Mr. Mike Rupert. But 2 days before this test was to be administered, guess what Mike Rupert did? That's when he fled the country. That's when he contacted his business manager, Ken Levine, down in Los Angeles, who scurried him across the border into Mexico, and then he made his way down to Venezuela. Now, Ken Levine, when I spoke to him on the phone, lied about this. He said he knew nothing about it. He didn't help Mike get across the border. He was as much in the dark as everyone else. Then, when Mike Rupert wrote his swan song article, By the Light of a Burning Bridge, guess what he did? He thanked Ken Levine for scurrying him across the border and helping him to not be a martyr for this country. He didn't want to die for a country that was now ruined and destroyed. That's Mike Rupert for you. A liar, a scammer, a con man. And you know, a couple years ago, when we wrote our first exposés and the subsequent follow-ups about Mike Rupert, there were people livid sending us hate mail that would burn through the paper. Now, 2 years later, guess what? Rupert's a joke. He's discredited. He's down there hiding in Venezuela because he knew he was going to get arrested and charged for this inside job. It's funny how the government had an inside job with 9/11, and yet here's Mike Rupert mimicking them with an inside job with this burglary. And I just want to say to all of you people out there, there's still some that are sending Mike Rupert money. The suckers. All these people out there that still believe or buy into his peak oil scam and all his other diversions like Delmar Vreeland and all these wild goose chases where Alan Greenspan was trying to kill this con man. Everything about Mike Rupert has been a con since day one. And I have about 10 pages of notes here that I wrote down during these conversations with one of his former employees. And I'll tell you what, I could spend an entire show telling you about what a scumbag this guy is, about the drug usage. Yeah, you heard me. The open drug usage at From the Wilderness, the way he was going to strip clubs, how his credit has been run through the roof, how, when Mike had his big sob story letter how he was moving to Ashland, Oregon. He was going to save the world, but he needed money to make the move, to set up the offices. Well, he failed to tell all the subscribers and all the donors how he bought a big leather couch for his house, how he bought this big, massive sound system for his house with money donated to him to make the move to Ashland, Oregon to save the world. What he was saving was his own ass. And what he's doing now, like he's been doing, he lives off running his credit cards up. He has horrific credit. They're knocking on his door every week asking for payment. Mike Rupert's a loser. Anybody that bought into his stuff, just go into your mirror and look on your forehead because it says sucker right on it. An interesting thing we saw the other night. It was, when was it? Saturday or Sunday night last week. We had all our work done. We're just winding down for the night. So about 8 or 9 o'clock at night, we went out, turned on the TV, and clicked over to MSNBC. They were running a repeat broadcast of an NBC This Morning show where Matt Lauer interviewed this 24-year-old teacher, Deb LaFave, who had sex with a 13-year-old boy, 13 or 14-year-old boy. The funny thing about it is that day, Bill O'Reilly went berserk on his radio show about how uncalled for this was. It was inexcusable that Matt Lauer interviewed this floozy, this tramp, and how could he lower his standards. You know what Bill O'Reilly was more mad about? The only thing he was mad about is that he didn't get a chance to interview Deborah LaFave. And you know why he didn't? Because everybody now in the news business and everybody in America knows that Bill O'Reilly is a sick, old, dirty, lecherous man, that he likes to have phone sex, that he has a little fetish about loofahs, that he's actually, according to testimony from one of his, from the woman that was going to sue him before she got paid off about $6 million out of his pocket, is that Bill took it in the back door, Bill did all of these vile sexual deeds, and you know what? When it all was exposed, Bill O'Reilly can't play his little games anymore. He can't be a bully to his female employees. He can't make sexist comments. He's been basically handcuffed. And you know what that does? It takes all the fun out of the game for Bill O'Reilly, the power monger. He can't play his games anymore. So what he has to do is keep everything repressed. And people say, well, why has Bill O'Reilly been so pissed off over the last year, year and a half? Well, this is why. Because everybody's hip to his game now. When women come into the office, they button their shirt up. Their radar is up for any of his sexual innuendo or his just blatant sexual comments. So what he has to do is keep it all bottled up inside, and all he can do then is spew his venom on the radio and on his TV show. It's no fun to be Bill O'Reilly anymore. Last but not least, we said yesterday we were going to talk about Mr. Alex Jones. Well, we're going to have an article on Friday. It's going to be called something like Alex Jones Insane, Delusions of Grandeur. And it seems Alex Jones believes that God is commanding him to bullhorn the Bilderbergs. He's also comparing himself. Well, instead of describing it, here's a quick email we received a couple days ago, and it says, I listened to Alex Jones. He was comparing himself to the Founding Fathers and John the Baptist. Now, that to me is a little out of bounds. Am I wrong? What is this guy's deal? He said God made him bullhorn the Bilderbergs. Some of what he says seems important, but when a human makes claims like that, it concerns me just a bit. This came from a guy named Todd, and Todd is exactly right. When this article comes out Friday, you'll see that when people like Jim and like Oral Roberts, you remember Oral Roberts, when he said that if he didn't raise $6 million by the end of the week, that God was going to bring him home. Now, anybody with any sense realized that this was first a big con, and second, if Oral Roberts did believe something like that, then the guy's insane. How about Charles Manson and Helter Skelter? His brain-dead followers, who he called the family, actually thought that these notions of Helter Skelter were coming down. Everybody else in the real world realized this was all crap and that these people were crazy. They were mind-controlled. The same goes with Jonestown or the Heaven's Gate cult that thought they were going to get on the Hale-Bopp comet and soar away from the earth, so they committed suicide. Now, all these people are insane. They're nuts. And anyone that thinks that God is speaking to them and telling him to bullhorn the Bilderbergers is nuts. They need psychological help. And anybody that follows this stuff, that believes it, I'm going to say it, they're nuts too. They're so close to this insanity world that they don't even realize how insane it is. Another thing, Alex Jones, I don't know if he actually did or if he was going to, but he was going to build or he was going to bullhorn the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, and he's calling them all Nazis. All these Nazis in the CFR. But there's a woman named Hazel, I believe, who wrote an article, Hazel McKinley, John Kaminsky sent it around, and she's saying, who are these Nazis that he's referring to? People like Elliot Spitzer, Jewish, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger, Jewish, Robert Kagan, Jewish, Dov Zakim, Jewish, Maurice Greenberg, Jewish, William Crystal, Jewish, Paul Wolfowitz, Jewish, Louis Libby, Jewish, Richard Perle, Jewish, Michael Bloomberg, Jewish, plus all the neocons that are sticking up for him, like Rudy Giuliani and David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski and on and on and on. These are Nazis? No, these are Jewish supremacists. And that's who Alex Jones is referring to as Nazis? Can't you see? It's all misdirection. Alex Jones is in control of the biggest Israel protection racket in the alternative media by far. Nobody compares to Alex Jones in protecting the real culprits. Nobody does. Nobody protects them like him. And when he keeps spouting this stuff about old dead Nazis and these Nazi death cults and so forth, it's misinformation. It's misdirection. And it's all done for one reason. To keep his mind dead zombie followers from putting their finger on the real culprits. I got an excellent article yesterday off a site called Zayapedia.org that lists all of the pro-Israeli and Jewish individuals who control the American media. I think it goes on for like 13 pages. It's astounding how many Jewish and Israeli firsters control the U.S. media. Every single walk of life in this mainstream media is controlled by Jewish interests. Don't you think that these people would put someone that's running an Israeli protection racket also in the alternative media? Someone with an American Anglo-Saxon sounding name like Alex Jones. Jones! That's a good WASP name. That's a good American name, right? We'll put him in there, and nobody will ever be the wiser. Except, we have to remember something very important that Clay Douglas said while he was on this show a month or two ago. He said the last conversation he ever had with Alex Jones was, he said to Alex, do you ever think that maybe your Jewish wife is your handler? Think about that, folks. Very, very interesting. And Alex never spoke to him again after that. There's more and more. Here's another comment. And I might be speaking out of school on this, but I don't give a damn. When we're up at Ground Zero, Alex Jones. Now, I wasn't there at the time. I actually saw Gabriel Day, went over and said hello to him. Well, I was over there. Alex Jones goes walking by Lisa, who's talking to Lionel. Lionel from WOR, 7:10 a.m. up in New York City, one of the biggest shows in the country. Well, when I come back, Lisa says, hey, I just saw Alex Jones go by. I said, really? What was he doing? She says, he was walking by, ranting and raving, yelling at the top of his lungs. Now, this was 10 minutes after the loose changers had just instructed everybody that when they go to ground zero, when they're still reading all the names, that it's going to be a silent procession, a silent march, okay? 10 minutes later, here comes Alex Jones screaming and yelling at the top of his voice, always, of course, the center of attention, making a spectacle of himself. Well, when Lisa said this, then Lionel says, I was wondering who that asshole was. You know, I mean, this is the kind of reaction people get. Is Alex Jones is again acting like an asshole. He has to always be the center of attention. Just like when he was up there in Canada at the Bilderberg meeting. He had to be the center of attention. Now, Jim Tucker had been covering these meetings for 20 years. He goes in, he plays it cool, he gets his story, he doesn't make a fool of himself. But here's Alex. Has to have the spotlight on him all the time. Anyway, we're going to have this article on Friday. We're going to expand more upon it. And if you want to follow someone that's delusional, that has total delusions of grandeur, that's a psychopath, that exhibits traits of a mentally ill person thinking God is speaking to him, then go ahead. Then go ahead. And if you want to be sent in the wrong direction, people say, oh, well, he gives good information. No. No. He doesn't give good information. We're not following anybody here. We're independent, and we're going to do our thing, and we're going to come out here and give you the truth about it. And if there's a crime committed like 9/11, we're not going to be afraid to say, look who did it. Israel first, neocons within our government, and certain elements in the nation of Israel. Everyone else is going to talk about, oh, stock options, and galvanic corrosion, and a military standout. Anything, but who did it? Well, if you want it, you can have it. But if you want to tune in to get major league hard-hitting news, where we're not going to shy away from it, then that's what Wing TV is here for. It all boils down to minor league versus major league news. And if you want the minor league stuff, well, you know where to find it. I'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Hopefully Lisa's going to feel better by then. Send her an email. Cheer up a little bit. I know she doesn't feel real well today. But until tomorrow, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.